Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Sign up for a 6-month bottled water contract for your home or office today and get your first 5-gallon bottle free. Visit watertomydoor.com and use code DRINKITIN at checkout.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
There is approximately 1 million things going on in the sports world right now, so this would be a very bad time to go live, but, you know, I'm a glutton for punishment, I suppose. We're going to do it anyway because we got to stay on schedule. Welcome to Rebel Report Live. I know you guys aren't watching this, but the United States national team literally scored a goal at the death to stay alive in a meaningless tournament, but still. So that is going on right now. I was watching that right before we went live. You have, obviously, the NCAA tournament going on. There's some dude that nobody's ever heard of for Oakland that has shot over 300 three-point shots this season and 7 two-point shots this season, and he's going off. He's got 27. He's 9 of 17 from 3, and they've got a 5-point lead over Kentucky, does Oakland. That is going on right now. Games everywhere. So if you're here, if you're watching this, you're a P1. You are a real one, and I appreciate you so much. And Haji Wright, let's go. We just scored. Woo! We're back, baby. Actually, this is a really tough game to watch. You guys could not possibly care less about American soccer. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here on this Thursday edition of Rebel Report Live. We got the Ole Miss 2025 football schedule. Kind of the 2025 football schedule was released earlier this week. There's a big baseball series as well starting tomorrow in Knoxville. We will talk about all of those things right here on this edition of the Rebel Report. So please follow me, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report in your favorite podcast app, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. It is impossible to be keeping up with everything right now. But let's take a look at the 2025 Ole Miss football schedule. One, we already knew the non-conference games that they were available for you. And I love this non-conference schedule, if we're being totally honest. The timing of the USC game probably couldn't be worse. It's the first game of the 2025 season. And Ole Miss, as you guys know, is replacing everything. Quarterback, wide receivers, a lot of offensive line, a lot of defensive. There's going to be a lot to replace. And whoever it is, Walker Howard, Austin Simmons, maybe they bring in a portal guy. It's Lane Kiffin, who knows, will get their first, knock on wood, real game action at the Coliseum. So that is a great game, an awesome matchup, not exactly well timed up from a program roster perspective. Citadel in week two, the Citadel Bulldogs. I've actually got this hat up here in my home office. It's a Citadel baseball hat. My best friend played there, and I think this is a badass hat, isn't it? That rules. They will be at Ole Miss. If you guys are not familiar with the Citadel, it is a military school in Charleston, South Carolina. They play in the Southern Conference with Furman, East Tennessee State, stuff like that. Game three, Wake Forest makes their return trip to Oxford and then Tulane. Game four will also be in Oxford. That will be at least we think so, a John Summerall coach Tulane team. So starting the season with four consecutive non-conference games, we already knew that. What we did not know, until this week, was who the conference games would be. And what the SEC decided, as you guys know already, is just to take this year's one-off schedule and make it a two-off, make it a home and a home. So, obviously, Ole Miss is hosting Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Oklahoma this year. They will go to Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Oklahoma. They're at Arkansas, Florida, LSU, and South Carolina this year. That means, as you probably have guessed, Arkansas, Florida, LSU, and South Carolina will be making a return trip to, or excuse me, will be reciprocating that trip, I guess is the way to put that, to Oxford. And there are a lot of takes about this, a whole lot of takes about this. One, you got the national college football people that are obsessed with the SEC not going to 9 conference games, just staying at 8 conference games. Even David Ubbin from The Athletic, who I like and does good work, said that the Big Ten needs to apply pressure to make the SEC move to 9. And I understand why they want to see it, because a casual observer would probably like more SEC games, sure. But what kind of pressure do you think the Big Ten can apply to the SEC in any way, shape, or form? Well, what kind of pressure can they apply? I mean, there's nothing that they can do to make the SEC go to 9. Nobody made the Big Ten go to 9. And if you want to argue that there is more difficulty in a 9-game Big Ten schedule over an 8-game SEC schedule plus a Power 5 opponent, I got a bridge to sell you, buddy, because yes, Vanderbilt exists in the SEC. There's 5 Vanderbilts in the Big Ten. Yes, it's a good league. It's the second best league in college football. It's very good. It is very strong. It got better with the additions of Washington and Oregon and USC, and UCLA is also coming too. But it's not the same, for one. And number two, the SEC gets more teams in the playoffs than ever, and they're going to continue to get more teams in the playoff than everybody else. That's already happening. They are making as much money as the Big Ten and richer than everybody else. The attendance is great. Ratings are huge. Why would they go to 9? What is forcing them to go to 9 other than your feelings? Like, if you're Greg Sankey in the SEC and attendance is good, really good, ratings are really good, and teams are getting in the playoffs, why would I change anything at all? You don't make a change like that until, A, ESPN gives you a significant amount more money to play that extra game, and that's it. Essentially, it's either that or if attendance and rating starts falling off and you can attribute that to not as good games. That is the only reason why you make a change. Until that day comes, and that day is not here, you don't make that change. And two, there were a lot of opinions about why the SEC chose to go this route. I saw people call it lazy or boring. I saw people compare or use the Georgia never having played in College Station as an example for the absurdity of this. And I didn't see it that way. I think this makes the most sense because, you know, you're still having to decide what you want to do with the 12 to 14 team playoff. And also there's a possibility that there's more conference expansion coming. Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina, all trying to get out of the ACC. It would be much better for you to wait and see how all of this stuff shakes out. There's going to be, you think at some point, NIL and portal regulation. A lot of things are changing soon. And so why would you make things harder on yourself or lock yourself into a different scheduling model when waiting and seeing is probably the best approach for how you navigate those decisions? And secondly, for Ole Miss, for example, you're having to go to Baton Rouge this year. LSU is owed a trip back to you. You know what I mean? You shouldn't have to go to Baton Rouge without them being forced to come back to you. Mississippi State shouldn't have to go to Texas without Texas having to be forced to come back to them. I think doing the home and home is the most fair decision that the SEC office could have made here. It's a little boring. We'll get a new model after 2025. It'll happen probably this time next year, though. But this was, to me, the most rational way to do it. If you have to go to the swamp, Florida needs to come back to your place, too. What sucks for Ole Miss is having to play Georgia 3 times in a row, and 2 of those games are in Athens. That just sucks. But otherwise, I think that this was the most appropriate decision for those reasons and for kind of buying your time to see how everything else works out in college football land. Also, so that's out there. We'll talk about that if you guys want to talk about that. I know, again, this game is going down to the wire. I got it right up here. But the baseball series, you know, this weekend in Knoxville, going to be a really difficult test. I know that this isn't the way that most people think, but I do think if Ole Miss goes up there, gets a game, comes back, that's fine. You know, I think that is something that you can be okay with. Obviously, you don't celebrate series losses or anything close to that. But if they're able to go up there and get one and stay steady at, you know, right at 500, I think that is totally an acceptable outcome. The things I'm watching for are more efficient starts. Dennis did not get off to a great start. Now, he settled in and pitched well, but he's got to be more efficient at the beginning of his outing. And then Saunier's got to bounce back from a pretty bad one last week. Can Ole Miss pitchers be really efficient? Because Tennessee, and Chase Parham put this out there, and he is excellent, so it's surprising to no one that he was able to pull this out and find this angle. Tennessee is really good with runners on base. They will punish you. I'm not going to steal his stats, but that Tennessee will punish you if you put runners on. They're very, very, very good with runners on. And if you're giving free base runners, like Ole Miss's starters have a propensity to do, then Tennessee's going to punish you. So they've got to be much more efficient on the mound, and they've got to be better with runners in scoring position. That was Saunier's start, and then that was kind of the big knock on Ole Miss last weekend, is they're still not good enough with RISP. They need to be good enough with RISP this weekend if they're going to go up there and upset Tennessee, which is what it would be, and to take a series. So I'm looking for efficient starts, good at-bats with runners in scoring position, and can the bullpen continue to show this mental toughness that they've showed so far this season in a difficult road environment? Hawaii was weird for them because of travel and stuff like that. They'll get, depending on weather, some difficult environment this weekend. It won't be an easy place for them to play. So can they still display those, with the exception of with runners in scoring position, really good and patient at-bats? Can they work counts and chase starters early? Can they be efficient on the mound and mentally tough on the mound, considering they're on the road in a difficult environment? Because this is the first time this year that they will be faced with this. So that's what I'm looking for this weekend in Knoxville. If you guys have a take on anything at all, I would love to hear from you, as always, in the live chat. So we will get to that after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. If you are in the market for office technology and your business is located anywhere in Mississippi, Advantage Business Systems has you covered. absms.com. That's the website, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. Got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard bank with me at Priority One Bank. I had to do a dispute. Somebody stole my information recently, and it was so quick and easy to get not only the money recouped, but new cards and everything updated just like that. It was an easy process. It used to be miserable if somebody had your card, and maybe it is with other banks still, not with Priority One Bank. My information got taken, and it was dealt with quickly because Priority One Bank makes me their priority. Okay, sorry. I cut the grass early this morning, and allergies are killing me, so I'm short of breath and stuff like that. So if I'm randomly pausing, that is why. So here we go. I know you're watching Kentucky in a dogfight with Oakland on another screen. I've got the United States soccer game up on another screen, and I've got the Kentucky game on the CBS Sports app here. So trying to keep up with it best I can. It's, I mean, you You really could see a departure of John Calipari if they lose this game. I know he's got a lifetime contract, but holy crap. What is it, Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio, the guy that built a network basically identical to the one that I work for at Super Talk in Kentucky, statewide sports radio show in Kentucky, called the second half. He put it out there at halftime that this second half was the most important in the John Calipari era, and Reed Sheppard has completely disappeared in this game, So Ole Miss plays at USC, Tulane, Wake Forest, and Georgia in 2025. Yes, but it's not at Tulane and at Wake Forest. Tulane and Wake Forest are at home, but yes, at USC, at Georgia. Yeah, this road schedule is tough. At USC, at Georgia, at Kentucky, at Mississippi State, at Oklahoma. In what will be a rebuilding year. That is tough. That creeper that was on my back porch that night is going to start looking through the top of that door, all because you won't replace the curtain rod. So, as it turns out, that guy was legit. That was legit. We had me and a neighbor had him looked into, and sure enough, he was at least by all accounts telling the truth. So interesting old story there. You have a triple screen setup. Going to have to add another tomorrow for baseball. Yeah, baseball this time of year really screws things up because I mean I'm watching the state game and keeping up with the state game, but I'm oversaturated with screens. They're playing well early is Mississippi State too, but it's almost like when you get that many screens, it's like too hard to keep up with it all, and that's kind of where I'm sitting right now. So. Are we not sure they'll change the schedule again because it felt like a slap together thing? I'm fairly certain that this is what they're going with. I don't think there's going to be any changes to this, barring the ACC releasing North Carolina and Clemson and Florida State, which I don't foresee happening. I think the ACC is going to go down swinging. In that case, they're not just going to let those schools go, especially when they have an agreement that they signed, you know. It was the timing of it was weird to release it the way they did. I don't quite understand that, but I do expect this to be what they go with. That guy has 32 points on 10 of 20 shooting. 10 of 20 shooting from three. Unbelievable. Looks like you're going to take your first two losses on your bracket. I think I picked Oakland in this game in my bracket because of I did mascot fight. And the reason I did mascot fight was because I have performed so freaking poorly in our radio show's bracket challenge that I decided this would be fun. And it was a fun segment. I don't think Richard liked it that much. I had fun. With that segment, but it couldn't possibly be worse, although I'm in the 13th percentile at the moment. I'm in the 13th percentile at the moment, but I'm about to get a big win here and change my circumstances. So I picked Oakland here. We'll see if they can hold it out. Why was it necessary to release schedules now? Because college football does not know how to public relations. That's why I keep telling people that college football needs to follow the NFL more. It's stuff like this. It's stuff like this that they need to learn from the NFL. Do this when nothing else is going on. You do the schedule release thing the week of March Madness. That's just bad public relations. You like Ole Miss playing Tulane constantly. However, if Tulane was ever going to beat Ole Miss, last year was the time to do it. Yeah, it was. I love that series. I mean, I think clearly you saw by the volume of people that went down there that Uptown New Orleans is just a great, trip. And fans love it, and it's convenient, and it's just what should happen. I agree with you. Staying with eight is fine with a 1-7-7 model. Not big on playing the same teams 2 years in a row. That's actually a good idea. So build the schedule 4 years out, where instead of flipping from 1 year to the next, you flip every other year. That's a good idea. I haven't thought about that. The Southern Conference is good at basketball and baseball. Watch the Samford game versus Kansas tonight. Buckyball, you're not kidding. Yeah. No, the SoCon is good sports, man. I mean, I grew up on it. You guys know that. But it's really good sports. They do well in a lot of things. I mean, Furman beating Virginia last year. I was sitting right in this chair losing my freaking mind. My son was taking a nap. It was the middle of the day. He was taking a nap, and after they hit the game winner, I had to do this. I had to cover my mouth. So hope Samford gives us the same fate, because they're a fun basketball team to watch. I watched the SoCon tournament to my disappointment, but hopefully Samford can pull it off tonight. So glad we dissolved the East and West just so we could rotate through the opponents in a timely manner. The new schedule at least will give us the perception that it's an actual conference. There's always been such a huge issue, at least from my perspective and a lot of people's, about the old scheduling model, really how terrible it was. Oakland's going to pull this off. Oakland is going to pull this off. Kentucky's got the ball. Oh, I can't believe I just said that, because Kentucky has the ball down four with 28 left, so it's certainly not over. But things are going to start getting weird around here if they can pull that off. But anyway, the lack of visibility, the lack of matchups was always so bad. Baseball just needs to get one. Anything else, and it's a bonus. I agree. Thank you for the super chat, my friend. Very, very, very much appreciate you. You're just tired of seeing Georgia on the schedule. We had a rivalry with Vanderbilt, and they took it away. Oh, man. You know, they should make that, as long as Jerry Kill's there, they should make that rivalry with Vanderbilt and Auburn. Yeah, Ole Miss replacing Vanderbilt with Georgia on the schedule for 2 years is quite unfortunate. So your guess is Ole Miss gets the middle game and Tennessee wins two of three. Wouldn't be surprised at all. Would not be surprised at all if that's exactly what happens. You'll cut my grass for me. You own a landscape company in Madison. Awesome. Yeah, you know, I like cutting my own grass. I do. I'll keep you in mind, because there are some days where, like this summer, I'll be gone for 10 days. And so I will need somebody to come by and do it. So keep me in mind. You sent a little something for my kid to the Super Talk office? Thank you, man. Thank you. You did not have to do that. I appreciate you being here. But that's too kind, man. Thank you. We are witnessing March Madness in full effect right now. Yeah, didn't have the best early slate of games either. I mean, we did have the Duquesne upset and then the Dayton comeback. So that kind of rounded out the afternoon wave. It was kind of a boring one, honestly, but this is going to change everything about today. Holy crap. Oakland. Up 5, 18 seconds to go on this Kentucky team. People put this Kentucky team in the national championship. Thought that they were going to win it. But, man, I mean, just disappeared. Just completely disappeared to Reese Shepard. I guess it's over now, right? I'm a little behind. You guys are ahead of me. This game's over. Three SEC teams losing in the first round? Oh, Kentucky called a timeout. It's over. Wow. Wow. Wish Ole Miss was playing Tulane at Tulane in 25 so you could get one last free Ole Miss Tulane football game. Can't believe they didn't think about it. Selfish. What you should do is just stay an extra year in school. Rebecca, let me tell you, the real world is terrible. So stay in school for as long as you can. Never ever graduate, ever. Stay in school forever. The real world is terrible. So get another master's. Do whatever you got to do. Love that Ole Miss is going to play Georgia more. Iron sharpens iron. Not playing Vandy prevents us from getting upset and ruining our season versus winning and getting nothing. Not a big win versus a big loss. You were concerned about the SEC going in, but this is worse than you thought. Yeah, it's been an awful, awful, awful day for the SEC. And I can't help but wonder if a day like this is going to give pause to the the committee next year. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't it cause you to kind of think twice about putting in that extra SEC team if they're going to put performances out like this? I don't know, man. I think that it, if I were on that committee, it would affect me. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe that's not the right way to do it or look at it, but I'm a human being. I would remember this if I were on that selection committee. I would. It's been an awful, awful day. Yeah, State and South Carolina got wrecked. Weren't even close. And now Kentucky's going to lose to Oakland. And at this point, I know you're saying you have confidence in Auburn. At this point, I don't. Anyway. Definitely don't hit the real world. Even the koozies from the library say Ole Miss is the best 5 or 6 years of your life. I regret very little in my life. I think that everything that I have done has led me to this point, and this point is an awesome, awesome thing because I'm sitting here talking to you guys. I got to hang out at a golf course all day and talk about sports for my job. Like, I'm very lucky. I've got a beautiful baby boy. So I'm very lucky despite a lot of challenges and hardships. I'm very happy with where I am right now. I regret finishing school in 4 years and leaving. I regret it. I do. I mean, what was I thinking? I could have stayed. I mean, I could have drummed up a little bit more money or something and figured it out to stay in school. I was so ready, despite loving my college. I had a blast in college. I freaking loved everything about it. I had no reason to want to leave other than, you know, you're supposed to finish school in 4 years and start work. That's what you're supposed to do. And instead of doing the right thing and that staying in school for too long, I bolted. And what the hell was I thinking, man? I remember my first few weeks on the job, I would go up to Oxford and stay with friends, and they were just kind of screwing around all day, and I had to work all day before I'd get in town late. And I just kept thinking to myself, what did I do? Why am I not in this exact position that they're in? But anyway, Tolu's performance today makes you wonder how he got all conference honors at all. He really disappeared over the last few weeks. I don't think he's healthy. I think there's an injury there that they're not talking about really. Because he has not been right for a few weeks now. He was especially bad today. He had more fouls and more turnovers separately than rebounds today. And only 9 points. I mean, just they needed him to be better today, and he wasn't. And so they lost. We will see, obviously, with baseball. It's a big weekend. Just go up there, get one, come home, and you'll be right back on track. We're going to learn we learned a lot last weekend when they played South Carolina. We're going to learn a lot more about this team coming up this weekend. Efficiency from the starters, at-bats with runners in scoring position. Those are the two things to pay attention to this weekend as they are set to face South Carolina. Bit of a shorter one tonight. Just because there's a lot going on, March Madness, all that stuff, and also allergies are just kicking my ass. So, yes, USA did come back. I've been watching. I was going to be honest with you. I should admit this, but I did have the game up on my phone, on my little holder in my car on the way home from Pearl River today. And it was a miserable experience. And now that they've started scoring goals, I haven't really been able to watch them. So I did all the emotional capital to watch them play like crap. And then when they start playing well, I'm not really watching, of course. But I appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here. I know a lot, just a metric ton of stuff is going on right now. And I appreciate you being here nonetheless. So we'll be back Sunday. As you guys know, 8 o'clock Sunday, we'll be back. We'll recap the weekend of baseball and then also basketball. If anything else like Kentucky losing to Oakland happens. So appreciate you guys. Love you guys. And I'll see you on Sunday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.